crash, and a sudden hot burst of electrical sparks that stung his skin and sputtered and sizzled on the wet ground around him. Slowly, Tim got to his feet. In the darkness, he heard the snuffling and saw the stegosaur coming back, apparently attracted by the crash of the Land Cruiser. The dinosaur moved dumbly, the low head thrust forward, and the big cartilaginous plates running in two rows along the hump of the back. It behaved like an overgrown tortoise, stupid like that, and slow. Tim picked up a rock and threw it.
Get away!
The rock thunked dully off the plates. The stegosaur kept coming.
Go on! Go!
He threw another rock and hit the stegosaur in the head. The animal grunted, turned slowly away, and shuffled off in the direction it had come. Tim leaned against the crumpled Land Cruiser and looked around in the darkness. He had to get back to the others, but he didn't want to get lost. He knew he was somewhere in the park, probably not far from the main road. If he could only get his bearings. He couldn't see much in the dark, but then he remembered the goggles. He climbed through the shattered front windshield into the Land Cruiser and found the night vision goggles and the radio. The radio was broken and silent, so he left it behind, but the goggles still worked. He flicked them on, saw the reassuringly familiar phosphorescent green image. Wearing the goggles, he saw the battered fence off to his left and walked toward it. The fence was 12 feet high, but the Tyrannosaur had flattened it easily. Tim hurried across it, moved through an area of dense foliage, and came out onto the main road. Through his goggles, he saw the other Land Cruiser turned on its side. He ran toward it, took a breath, and looked inside. The car was empty. No sign of Dr. Grant and Dr. Malcolm. Where had they gone? Where had everybody gone? He felt sudden panic standing alone in the jungle road at night with that empty car, and turned quickly in circles, seeing the bright green world in the goggles swirl. Something pale by the side of the road caught his eye. It was Lex's baseball. He wiped the mud off it.
Lex!
Tim shouted as loud as he could, not caring if the animals heard him. He listened, but there was only the wind and the plink of raindrops falling from the trees.
Lex!
He vaguely remembered that she had been in the Land Cruiser when the Tyrannosaur attacked. Had she stayed there? Or had she gotten away? The events of the attack were confused in his mind. He wasn't exactly sure what had happened. Just to think of it made him uneasy. He stood in the road, gasping with panic.
Lex!
The night seemed to close in around him. Feeling sorry for himself, he sat in a cold, rainy puddle in the road and whimpered for a while. When he finally stopped, he still heard whimpering. It was faint, and it was coming from somewhere farther up the road.
How long has it been? Muldoon said, coming back into the control room. He was carrying a black metal case. Half an hour. Harding's jeep should be back here by now.
Arnold stubbed out his cigarette.
I'm sure they'll arrive any minute now. Still no sign of Nedry? Muldoon said.
Nope, not yet.
Muldoon opened the case, which contained 6 portable radios.
I'm going to distribute these to people in the building.
He handed one to Arnold. Take the charger, too. These are our emergency radios, but nobody had them plugged in, naturally. Let it charge about 20 minutes and then try and raise the cars. Henry Wu opened the door marked fertilization.